In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Our epistle lesson for this morning is found recorded in the epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 12 through 17, and reads as follows. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Here endeth the epistle lesson. So now sing hymn 234. Our gospel lesson this Sunday is found recorded in the gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 15 through 23, and reads as follows. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15, and reads as follows. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, when we pray in the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, one of the things that we're asking is that God's kingdom of grace, his church on earth, would come to other people. Come to those who are not currently members of his church. Be brought into his kingdom by being brought to faith. In this way, we Christians reflect God's desire for all people to be brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus and to be saved through faith in him. The Bible says that it brings great joy to the angels of heaven when one single sinner repents and is brought to saving faith. This is because such people have been saved from the wages of their sins, been snatched out of the jaws of eternal death, and saved, put on the pathway to heaven. It is obviously something to rejoice greatly about. In last Sunday's sermon text, which was from later in this same chapter, we observed how God takes care of his believing children, even through much earthly suffering. But our sermon text for today focuses more upon how a person even becomes a child of God in the first place. In other words, how people are rescued from the kingdom of Satan and placed safely into the kingdom of God's grace. Let this then be the focus of our meditation this morning, namely that the kingdom of God is spread through the preaching of his word. And on the basis of our text, we shall first consider the point that God wants his word to be preached throughout the world. And secondly, that God blesses the preaching of his word. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. From Jesus' great commission, it is clear that he wants all people to become his believing disciples through baptism, through the preaching of his word. All people, whether they realize it or not, need God's saving grace, need the forgiveness of sins that's available only through Christ. So they need the saving message of the gospel. And God grants us the ability to bring his saving word to others. You've been taught the word of God. You have it. You know it. You can and should share it with those who still need to hear it, those who are ignorant of it currently. In the first verse of our text, we see the Christian missionaries traveling to a brand new place, a place that they had never before visited. It was Philippi, the main city of that part of Macedonia. But why they decide to go there? Well, in addition to the desire that Paul and Silas had to spread the gospel across the whole world, we learn in one of the verses that come just before our text that God had given a special vision to Paul, showing him that he wanted him to go to Philippi in Macedonia. So if you have your Bibles open to where our text is found, and look back at verse 9. There we read, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him," which means begged him, "saying, come over into Macedonia and help us." Now, Macedonia was an area of southeastern Europe, which the Christian missionaries had never before visited. But this special vision from the Lord showed Paul that now was the appropriate time to go there, to bring the word of God to the people of Macedonia. That was the kind of help that the Macedonian man in Paul's vision was requesting. And that is exactly the kind of help that Paul and his fellow missionaries would bring them. Likewise, that is the most important help that you and I can bring to someone who is ignorant of the saving truths of the Bible. Share that precious information with them. Expose them to the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost connected with His Word, which is really the only way that a person can be brought to saving faith. Now, it is true that a person could come to saving faith through simply reading the Bible himself, through his own personal study of the Scriptures, because the converting power of the Holy Ghost is connected with God's Word, even when it's simply read by a person. However, that's not usually the way it works. Usually a person who's an unbeliever who just decides to read the Bible isn't brought to faith that way. Usually, it's not through the word that an unbeliever reads in the Bible, it's usually through the word of God that is preached to the person or taught to the person by someone else. And the reason why that is the case is because it is absolutely crucial that law and gospel be rightly divided and applied, not mixed and confused. An unbeliever who's just reading the Bible on his own is very likely to mix and confuse those two things. We read in the first verse of our text, "And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days." So right after receiving that vision from the Lord, Paul and his fellow missionaries wasted no time in going about doing that important work to which they had been called. They were eager to spread the gospel of the kingdom of God. Just like you and I should also be eager and excited to go wherever the Lord leads us in life, to look for opportunities that He may open before us to impart the spiritual knowledge, the priceless gifts that we know through His Word. Just think about the exceedingly valuable treasure that you have because you know the gospel, which others need, most of whom are completely ignorant of it. So you're in a position to share that important knowledge with them. Yes, the unbelievers are completely ignorant of this great gift of God's grace, the gift that leads to everlasting life in heaven, the only way that a person can be saved from everlasting destruction in hell. So what should you do with that knowledge? Again, if you have any love for your fellow human beings, which God commands you to have, then you'll want to help them. Don't stay silent in the face of their great spiritual need. Look for those opportunities and take those opportunities to bring those people what they need to hear. Now, in most cases, that means that you're first going to have to talk to them about their sins. And that is something that most people feel quite uncomfortable with. But it is absolutely necessary that a person understands his sins before he can appreciate the forgiveness of sins offered in the gospel. Now, really, everyone, if they honestly evaluate themselves, will admit that they're not perfect, will admit that they have sinned. And yet, unbelievers usually do not understand how completely corrupt they are, how completely guilty they are in the sight of God. Nor do they usually already understand the fearful punishment of hell that they deserve because of every single sin they've ever committed, even for one just brief sinful thought. The person deserves to go to hell, according to Holy Scripture. So, that's an important thing to teach a person, what the Bible says concerning these things. And you can even quote Scripture, saying, "Whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." And again, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Now, once the law of God has brought the person to an accurate understanding of his lost condition, so that he despairs of his own righteousness, well, then he's ready to hear the gospel. He's ready to hear about the Lord Jesus. He's in the proper frame of mind to appreciate the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And you can then bring the joyous message of God's grace in the gospel of Jesus in such passages as, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." And again, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." This is what true love for your fellow human beings will move you to do, to want to help them in their spiritual need, to follow the example of the Apostle Paul and his fellow missionaries in our text, to extend the kingdom of God's grace. Now, the method that Paul normally followed when he would enter into a new city would be to find the local synagogue, where the Jews and the proselytes would gather on the Sabbath day to hear the reading of the Old Testament scriptures. And then he would give them the great news that the Messiah Savior that they knew about from the Old Testament prophecies, to tell them that he had come and that Jesus is that Christ, the Messiah. However, in this city of Philippi, even though it was the largest city in that area, there was no synagogue. Paul did, however, learn that on Saturday, which was the Sabbath, a group of Old Testament believers, particularly women, gathered outside the city by a river to pray. And so that's where Paul and Silas went. We read in our text, "And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." Now, how many women were gathered there to hear the word of God? The Bible doesn't say. "And of those who did hear Paul's preaching, what percentage of them received his word in a believing heart?" The Bible doesn't say. But in the next verse of our text, we do learn of one woman in particular who listened to the preaching of St. Paul and was brought to saving faith in Christ Jesus. We read, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." So Lydia received the word of God with an open heart. But is she the one who opened her heart? Remember what our text says. Our text specifically says that the Lord opened her heart. And that opening of the heart was accomplished, as it always is, through the preaching of the word. The gospel works saving faith in the heart. The Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is through the gospel that the Holy Ghost works regeneration, the new birth of faith, converts the heart, brings a penitent sinner to a knowledge of and trust in Jesus as one's own personal Savior from sin. The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That work of enlightening and converting the heart of a human through the preaching of the word has been continued down to this present day through the work of faithful pastors and missionaries and Christian laymen who speak to others about God's word, who confess their faith in the teachings of Holy Scripture. Through the proclamation of his word, law and gospel rightly divided and applied, the Lord works to gather more and more people into his kingdom of grace, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, and finally brings them into his kingdom of glory, heaven. Yes, it is God alone who is responsible for bringing a person to faith, and it is God alone who is responsible for building up and strengthening us Christians in the faith. But the work of those who preach his word is crucial. Because God uses the preached word to create and preserve saving faith in the heart. Accordingly, St. Paul writes to the Romans, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This then emphasizes the importance of having faithful pastors, faithful Sunday school teachers, faithful Christian missionaries, faithful Christians who simply talk to their fellow human beings about the word of God. In the Old Testament book of Isaiah, we read, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good things, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, God's church, thy God reigneth. This verse stresses the beauty and glory of the gospel, the good tidings of good things and peace in Christ Jesus, and by association, the beauty of the feet of those who bring that gospel. The feet are especially mentioned because the feet are what bring the messenger near. Thus, we Christians are taught to esteem both the gospel and the pastors who proclaim the gospel. St. Paul writes in his first letter to the Thessalonians, to esteem pastors very highly in love for their work's sake. Now, Lydia greatly esteemed the work of the Apostle Paul in Philippi. And unsurprisingly, she received the sacrament of holy baptism for the strengthening of her faith. And our text makes it clear that it wasn't just she herself, but the rest of her household too. So any relatives and any servants that she had living with her in her house were also baptized. We read, and when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Lydia thus demonstrated her saving faith in Jesus, her gratitude to the work of the Christian missionaries by showing them generous hospitality, inviting them, insisting that they stay with her in her house. And that then became their home base of operation as they continued to preach the word of God throughout Philippi. Clearly, Lydia and her household were greatly blessed to hear the word of God from the Apostle Paul and his fellow missionaries. Similarly, you and I are greatly blessed to have the word of God, to be able to read and study and meditate upon it. When we come to public worship service with our fellow Christians and in our own homes. Now, a person who has been so blessed as to find the Savior through the gospel should always remember that this all-important discovery of the heart was not the result of his own diligent study and searching. An unbeliever can decide to read the Bible. An unbeliever can decide to walk into a church and listen to a sermon. But an unbeliever cannot decide to believe what he reads in the Bible or what he hears from the pastor. That can only be worked by God. So, the unbeliever who does, through the power of the Word, come to saving faith, is not to credit his own reading and studying. Also, the person who preaches the Word, and through that Word a person's brought to faith, the preacher doesn't deserve the credit either. It's ultimately God. It's the power of God working through that Word. So yes, it's absolutely crucial that a person be exposed to the Word of God. It's absolutely crucial that Christians who know the truth share that truth with others to bring them the power of the Holy Ghost operating through that Word, so that they too can be brought into the saving Christian faith. So may God bless us by keeping us steadfast in the faith through the power of His Word, and also bless our proclamation of His Word, so that others too can be brought into His kingdom of grace. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Dearest Savior, Jesus Christ, make us truly thankful that Thou hast earned for us the forgiveness of all our sins by Thy perfect life and by Thine innocent suffering and death. And bless the offering of thanksgiving which we now place before Thee, to the honor of Thy holy name. Amen. Let us rise to pray. O Heavenly Father, who by Thy dear Son, Jesus, our Savior, didst create all things that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, giving him authority over all. We thank thee that through him we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we may truly know thee as our Father, and call upon thee in prayer, and be assured that thou wilt hear us as thy dear children. Heavenly Father, for thy church and for thy people we pray. Grant unto us pastors and teachers who are counseled and led by thy Holy Spirit, and who earnestly hold forth the word of life, diligently gather thy children, and teach them all things whatsoever our Lord has commanded. And to this end, dear Heavenly Father, open the hearts of men throughout our conference, that they may be filled with the desire to serve thee in the pastoral office, and to be thoroughly trained for such work in our seminary, that under their leadership in future years, our congregations may continue to be led with the full truth of thy holy word. From all false prophets and deceitful guides, save us, that we, being knit together in love, may stand fast in one spirit, and with one mind strive together for the faith of the gospel, holding fast the profession of our faith in accordance with thy word, without wavering. We beseech thee to bless Pastor Leitz and his congregation in Oak Park, Illinois. According to thine own good pleasure, grant him the strength and health needed to carry out his pastoral duties faithfully. And grant that through that ministration, thy name may be glorified. Send forth thy messengers to open the eyes of the unbelieving, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto Christ and the pure teachings of his word, that we may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance with all thy children. Look with favor upon our land, that true liberty, perfect justice, and pure morals may prevail in every estate of our society, and that ungodliness and wicked works may be destroyed. We ask thee also to bless our brethren in Nigeria and Russia, that they may receive from thy gracious hand all such blessings as thou knowest to be truly good for them. Now, dearest Heavenly Father, as thou hast bidden us in thy word, let our requests be made known unto thee with thanksgiving in prayer and supplication. We come to thee in loving gratitude and trust, offering these petitions in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, in whose name we furthermore pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty and gracious God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has commanded us to pray that thou wouldst send forth laborers into thy harvest. Of thine infinite mercy, give us true teachers and ministers of thy word, and put thy saving gospel into their hearts and on their lips, that they may truly fulfill the command to hold fast and to preach nothing contrary to thy holy word, and that we, being warned, instructed, nurtured, comforted, and strengthened by thy heavenly word, may do those things which are well-pleasing in thy sight and profitable for us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing the sixth verse of hymn 498.